So I'm going to try it tonight. I hope it be a blessing. And that's what I'm here for. Never tried to put on a show, but just try to mind the Lord. So I don't know how long I preach. I don't preach as long as I used to, I don't think. But I try to mind the Lord. You pray. Some preachers said, I'll preach like you pray, and a lot of times they don't pray. A lot of times, Brother Melvin, folks just don't pray. They forget it. They mean to, but they forget to pray for the preacher. But if you have your Bibles, we'll call our attention to the Word of God. Glad to have all the folks from different places in our presence tonight. In the second epistle of Apostle Peter, Schofield Bible is page 1317. We're glad to have some of our folks with us tonight also. I believe I'll start reading with about the 10th verse. And I looked at that and I thought, now some of those preachers will have heard me or somebody, but I don't apologize. I looked at a lot of text, a lot of outlines, and I just couldn't get settled on nothing else. And I take it, Brother Wynn, this is what God wants me to use tonight. In this scripture, I have four or five or six messages that I preach from it. And I think it'll be good for us if we just let God have His way. Second Peter, first chapter, and the tenth verse. Wherefore, be rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will be vigilant to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it as long as meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devices, fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were witnesses of His majesty. There's a number of things we could approach in this scripture. Number one, we could talk about adding to our faith those nine virtues that He speaks of in the first part of this chapter. And God knows God's young'uns needs to add to their faith after they're saved. I'm afraid there's a lot of church members that they've never grown. They are not grown in stature and nature and a wisdom of the Lord. But God says, add to your faith these things. Then we come on over here and He talks about making sure of your election and calling. That's speaking about our salvation. I believe every once in a while God's young'uns ought to take the Word of God and sit down and examine it and see if your testimony measures up to what the Bible says. Somebody said, well, I was saved 50 years ago and I don't remember much about it. Boy, I'll tell you, I've never got over it. Amen. I don't plan on getting over it. I expect a man to have more faith when I leave this world than I have now. Yeah. The Bible said faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah. Not some fable, not some fairy tale, but the Word of God. Glad the Bible said it's the power of God, Romans 1:16, to everyone that'll believe it. You ought to say hallelujah tonight if you believe it. Therefore, Paul said, or Peter says here, said, the Lord's done revealed to me I'm going to die. He's not told me that, but nature tells me that my time is running out. Amen. I'm an old man to be a preaching. But thank God for the privilege one more time I to stand and try to lift up that name which is above every name. Praise His name tonight. That He loved us enough to come to this world and die for us and then to save us by the grace of God. I look in the Word of God and I say here, I could preach on putting you in remembrance. I could preach on to you and adding to your faith. But I want to leave this thought with you. And that is where Peter says, I want to stir you up. I want to stir you up and put you in remembrance. Children, if there's ever been a time that God's youngins needs stirring up, it's in this hour in which we live. It's so easy to become asleep on God. It's so easy to become numb. It's so easy to go to church a Sunday after Sunday, sit in the pew, and never feel nothing. I'll tell you, under God, we need an old-time revival that'll wake us up, stir us up, and move us up for the glory of God. There's some things that ought to stir us. Boy, most of all, that God did love an old wretch like you and I. Do you know what's wrecked most Baptist churches over this country? It's old stinking pride that keeps us from shouting the praises of God. Preacher, you ain't going to get me to do nothing. Boy, I tell you, God needs to get you out of your nest and stir us up for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says, I know you know all of these things, but I'm going to remind you one more time. I'm going to put you to remembrance some of the things. And I believe that just to get started, we ought to just come back and think about who God is. Amen. The book of Isaiah tells us, he said, the Lord is my name. And I ain't going to give my glory to nobody else. He said, that's my name. We ought to worship Him, honor Him, and praise Him because He came where you were and saved you, wrote your name in heaven, that sometime when you stand on that glory banks of heaven, reach out your hand to meet His scar, and it'll be because of His love and His mercy and grace that came down to mighten your heart. The Bible tells me they that come to God must believe that He is. Does it stir you when you hear these atheists say there's no God? Oh, it's all by evolution. It's all by imagination. But I want to tell you, I believe that the Bible said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We're living in a time when the devil is so tricking people to make them question whether there is a God or not. Can you take a pencil and a paper and prove to me that there's a God? I don't have to. I know there's a God because I sat there a few minutes ago. I felt a moving in my bosom. Amen, hallelujah. It's God done the good to know God and God to know you. And they that come to Him must believe He is a rewarder of them that was dead and forsaken. I bet you one of them preachers that believes that God blew a hole through the Red Sea and they walked on dry ground. Amen. I bet you one of them preachers that believes that Jesus walked on water. Amen. And sometimes I feel like I can too. Amen. Preacher, you really mean that? There's nothing sweeter and there's nothing greater than to feel the moving of the Spirit of God in your soul and give you a witness that you're His. How long has it been since you've heard from heaven? How long has it been since God has witnessed with that good, sweet Holy Ghost that you're saved, you're sealed, and you're on your way to glory? I like how God puts it. Christ in God. Amen. We in Christ, sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, and the devil can't do nothing about it. I tell you, children, if we're saved, we're on the winning side tonight. I know we're living in a terrible day when people laugh and scorn at God. Perhaps you studied today about the Ten Commandments when they took them out of the government places and schools and everywhere else. The world's gone to hell, my friend, because they have nothing to tell them what's right and what's wrong. Does that stir you? It bothered me and it bothers me now that men of authority will not have no backbone to stand up for God and the right and the rules of God. Amen. We need a revival that will bring us back to the Word of God. I say tonight, I believe God is. What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, preacher? I hear people say, well, He's a good master. Nicodemus and even Judas called Him master. But I want to tell you tonight, He's more than that. He's more than that. He's God incarnated in the flesh. And I'm saying tonight, I'd like to lift Him up, glorify Him, praise Him, honor Him, because everything I am and what I hope to be is because of the Son of the living God. Just praise His holy name for being God. Do you deserve it? Do you really deserve being saved? Oh, the preacher preached not wrong. Oh, go about that cup. Not the cup of sacrament or Lord's Supper, but that cup when Jesus went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He said, oh God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup of all of your iniquities. The cup of all of mine. Every sin of the world was laid upon Him. And He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, some things that ought to stir us up. Get us excited about going to a country, Brother Charles, where we'll never grow old anymore. We will never know nothing else about sin. And it's all because that Jesus Christ said, I will, Father. I believe before the world ever was, yonder in the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit made a plan of redemption. Because the Bible said Christ was as a lamb slain before there was any world. Boy, God loved us enough to give His best for you and for me. And that's why we ought to straighten up and get fixed up and stirred up for the honor and the glory of God. It's sad that people go to church for years and years and never get nothing out of church. All they hear is what the preacher says from the ear. Boy, we need something to touch inside. Amen. To give us strength against the wiles of the devil and sin. Boy, I'm feeling better all the time. I want to say thank God tonight for my Savior that come to this world and died for me. And I hurry and say, my friend, that we need revival. Oh, how we need revival. You know, we blame the politicians for the shape we're in. And God knows they've done enough. Amen. Somebody said, and I believe it, that in this day, Paul had died and all you got left is a bunch of ticks. A tick is something that sucks off of somebody else. Amen. We need a revival in our Baptist churches that'll bring us back to the Word of God. Amen. Folks in our home this evening, and I said, "Hey, I hear you got a new preacher." I said, "How you like him?" He said, "I don't. Just out of seminary, and he ain't dry behind the ears yet, and don't know, amen, how to run the church in the first place." Amen. Need the book to run the church by. Preach, that didn't go over too good. But I don't say that. The condition of this country stirs me. I wish I could have to come back and apologize. I remember when I came back from the Second World War, jobs began to be everywhere. I went to up north and got a job. And I'll tell you, it's good to be able to get a little money in your pocket. The condition of this world, what's caused it? It's sin. That's what's wrong with America. It's sin. I made this statement this morning. Folks, remember it. I liked ball, baseball, basketball. But what I see on television, amen, it's a disgrace. All that drinking and getting drunk. One lady told me, said, "I went in the bathroom and there laid a lady on the floor. I thought she was dead, but she just passed out drunk." I tell you, that crowd's going to ruin anything that you and I might enjoy. Why? Because we put God out of everything, and God's getting sick of it. Down on the things left, the judgment of God. That's why we need to get stirred up in this day. Quit sitting around like my friend somebody on a stool. I get up and do something for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, glad you just come tonight. We're in a battle. We've been in a battle for a long time. When I left here, we was in a battle. In a battle when I first come here. Old brother Arndt Greer all said, it's a continual thing. It just keeps on keeping on. I'm talking about my brother Paul said to Timothy, he said to endure hardness as a good soldier. You got to have some backbone to be a good child of God and have your heart fixed. You're not talking about just drifting in and going to sleep while the preacher's preaching, singer's singing, teacher's teaching. He's talking about getting us involved, and the preacher can preach a lot better when folks get with him. Oh, God help us. How we do need a change. If God don't intervene soon, we're done. Some of the older ones is gray-headed. Since 1946, 7, 8, and on up, we've enjoyed prosperity. But something don't happen soon, your young children and my great-grandchildren is going to be, my friend, like a third-rate nation. They won't have what you and I have, and because that crowd give it all away. Well, I better get off of that because I'm liable to name names. What are you preaching about, preacher? I want God to stir me up. I want God to get in me that I might preach to my people the unadulterated word of God, that it might give them strength to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need firing up. Like one fellow went off to school and he just cut loose to preaching. I mean, he was hollering like I was hollering, whooping it up. And they said, "Hold it down, just quieten it down. You don't have to get excited like that." He said, "My Lord, I didn't come down here to get quieted down. I come down here to get fired up. That's what we ought to go to church for, is to get a fire put on us until we can go for the glory of God." I'm preaching on the thought, stir me up, Lord. Stir me up, Lord. Our love needs to be stirred. What do we love? Oh, I love the world so good. God said you can't love that world and love me. Oh, how we need tonight to turn our affection back to the Lamb of God that died for us on the cross. God said, I've given Him a name which is above every name. And I was glad in the singing tonight I could detect they was glorifying the name of Jesus. They was telling me that there's a better place because of Him. Aren't you glad that He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. You know, I've been in the service, war. I've heard bullets whiz by my head. Therefore, I knew the enemy is trying to kill me. And I want to say, the most exciting place you'll ever get is on the firing line for Jesus Christ. I tell you, get in the battle. Get in there and help this preacher. Get in there and help that choir. And once in a while say, whoopee, go to it. We got so stiff and so dignified, we don't know how to praise God no more. Amen. Brother Dwight, there's a time them old timers raise their hand, say, glory to God, I'm glad I'm saved. We got ashamed of Him. That's why we need a revival to get us out of that old dry spell. The sooner you get through, preacher, the better I like it. But I'm talking about, my friend, that we do need to get excited about the Word. I'm going to say something, Brother Wynn. Back in 1953, I was just starting out as a young preacher. And they brought this RSV along. And they're going to cram it down everybody's throat. Oh, they advertise all them Bibles so big. What caused the division in one other county and everywhere else? It was them new Bibles they didn't know nothing about. And that caused preachers to get divided. And the churches become divided. And they're that way yet. Because we believe this is the Word of God. I used to put it like this. The God that can bring the sun over the hill every morning and keep them stars in their sockets can keep us the pure, unadulterated Word of God. I believe that. Oh, but preacher, we're in a new day. You got to compromise. You got to give in. Them folks won't think nothing about it. I'm not worried about them folks. I'm worried about what God thinks. Yeah, man. Hey, man. I'm talking about service for the Lord. I'm looking at some of you. You are like clocks. Like a clock is on time every Sunday. You're faithful. You know what? That's what God's looking for. A lot of Baptist folks say, man, you don't know where they're going to be. Somebody said, how many you got going to church? Well, I don't know. Some of them always down or somebody's always up. You don't know where you're at anymore. I'm going to say something else right here. No church member should run off from church when you're having the Lord's Supper. Going to go off anytime, don't go when you're observing the death and the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. None of your business, preacher. It's my business to tell you. Therefore, I'm thankful for the Word of God. Peter says it didn't come to them fellows that revised it. Peter says in the Word of God, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That put the final approval upon the Word of God. So I'm glad tonight that I can preach unto you that we ought to get stirred up about the church. People anymore don't count church membership nothing. Now, if you remember this church, any other church, when you're talking about the church, you're talking about yourself. Because you're making up the church. God talked about don't have nothing to do with that crowd. It's always causing division. Amen. I preach, I'm going to fellowship everybody. I'm going to love everybody too. And I do. But I want to say there's a standard somewhere that ought to be raised in the church. Of the living God. I was one place in my early ministry and revival, and pastor went off somewhere that night, Sunday night. And I told him, I said, them young people's bothering me, running in and out. Oh, he said, don't say nothing. I'll take care of that after revival. And don't you know before the Sunday night service, oh, there's in a fight there on the front door. Amen. I would have said something to God, what the preacher thought. I believe there ought to be honor and praise and dignity and order at the house of God. That's what revival ought to bring. Are you with me? Melvin, you sleep. Amen. I got a little one out of it. As long as I'm in this tabernacle. Peter said, the Lord wants me to stir you up, even you already know it. We're a people that forgets. How many can remember what I preached when I was here? Brother Dwight's on a feller I know because he wrote down in the Bible every sermon I'd preach. And he always tells me a lot of times, I preach this and I preach that. I don't remember it myself. I take his word for it. We are a people. If we're not careful, we'll forget what even God has done for us. Isn't it good to sit here at Mount Lebanon tonight? No atheists or heathens come in here to molest us. We can hear men worship God and hear this good singing and fellowship together, worship God and honor God, love God and exalt His name. And nobody bothers. We ought to praise God and get stirred up about that. Because the time may come, you may not come in here like you're coming now. This bunch of Muslims takes over. They put you and I out of business, brother. Don't you fool yourself. You know who they take up for anymore? Put the church down, take up the Muslims. Oh, well, they've got a God. No, they ain't. That's a fictitious God. My friend, Allah is not a God. That's the one Muhammad I have stuff, and there's no God but Jehovah God, the one we serve. And He lives. He lives because I know He lives in me. Whew, I like this. My time about gone, Brother Wynn. How do you know? Caught him. I caught him. I want to say, we ought to get stirred up about the church. I might hurt somebody's feelings tonight. But I'm pretty bad for that. Everybody calls themselves Christian, not Christian. You say, well, the Catholics, they're Christian. If they pray to Mary and they don't believe in Jesus for salvation, they're not Christian. Are you listening? I'm going to preach again tonight that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And it stirs me when I see the multitude trying to work their way to heaven. And that's what religion's doing today. Come on, and I'll teach you how to do this and how to do that. Boy, I'll tell you, the good, holy, sweet Spirit of God teaches. He said, when I send Him, He will lead you, and He will teach you, and He will guide you. He will be a steady companion. With me? I'm talking about some things that ought to stir us up. All this murder, all this raping, all this taking little babies out and killing them. What's the cause of that, preacher? One of the things are we're entering in, if we're not in, to the perilous times. It's not as bad as it's going to get. That's why you need to get stirred up and be ready for the calling of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad tonight. I serve a God that's able. He's able to save. He's able to keep. He's able to deliver you on the shores of the living. He's God. I'm not planning on nothing that I've done or preached. I place my hand in the hand of my Savior. Lord, I believe you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you lived. You arose for my justification. I believe you're coming back. That's my hope tonight. And more than that, if I don't get to go in the rapture, it'll be all right. Because David say, yea, though I walk through the valley of that shadow of death, I will fear no evil. A shadow never hurt you, Brother John. It's that tree, not the shadow that hurt you. The shadow of death. I walk through it. I fear no evil. Boy, I want to say tonight, Brother Norman, the Lord done great things for us. Wherefore, I'm glad. I'm so glad that he knocked on my door. I didn't deserve it. Saved me. Called me to preach. Stood with me down through these 60 years of preaching. Glory, glory, glory. I tell you, it's sweet tonight. Because he's God. He's God. So I'll be closing pretty quick, I think. I hear the Apostle Paul say this. He said, I've fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith. I don't know how well I've fought, but I've been fighting the devil ever since I got saved. It's been a battle. But I know one thing. I ain't changed no horses in the middle of the stream. I'm still believing in the same Bible. I'm still believing in the same Christ. I'm still believing in the same church. No, the church ain't going to take you to heaven, but the message the real church has got will get you on the other side. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Can you say that? Brother Dwight, one of these days, the rapture don't come. Somebody will stand over my body and say a few things. And I hope you can say, old Carl was a fighter of faith. He was a fighter, my friend, and he kept the faith. And now he's finished his course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me. But not only for me, but all those that love his appearing. Does it scare you when you think about the Lord sounding the trumpet? I about every day. I look toward the skies and said, come on, Jesus. Wouldn't that be sweet? Tonight, I hope this house would be emptied. Everybody meet him in the air to go home to be with the Lord. Preacher, that's imagination you got. No, it's not. It's a promise that Jesus gave us through the Apostle Paul. Those which are dead should be raised. You and I changed in a twinkling of an eye and caught up to be with the Lord. Is there any grounds that you and I ought to get stirred in worship? A preacher, my way is just to be real quiet. I don't want nobody to think I'm a charismatic. I don't want nobody to think I've gone off on the deep end. Boy, I'll tell you, when they met God and God's servant and prophets, they bowed at his feet and praised his holy name. Audibly they did it. And I'm not over here trying to make the people charismatic, but I believe there's room right here as well as my church to get stirred up. To get stirred up for the honor and the glory of God. I want to say something else. You ought to honor your pastor. You ought to appreciate him preaching the Word of God. I've got a few folks. I've been their pastor for years and years. And they've never said, "Preacher, I just don't like your preaching." They've never said, "Preacher, I do like your preaching." They get up and they walk out and never let me know whether they get anything out of it or not. Shame on you. You ought to come around once in a while and say, "Brother Wynn, that word was a blessing to my soul." If you don't do it, you're failing God in His service. You didn't pay me nothing for that, did you? I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. But folks, sincerely, Peter said, "The Lord showed me. He done told me that I'm fixing to die." Now, I know we give the Apostle Peter a hard time. He denied the Lord and cursed. But you'll have to give him honor that he went farther than the rest of that crowd. Huh? Amen. He said, "Lord, I'll die for you." He meant it. Went out there and he cut that servant of the high priest's ear off. I believe he meant to cut his head off, and he wasn't too good a shot at it. I believe he did. He just missed it. That's the way I shoot anymore. But I'm talking about serving God, loving God. And if we love Him enough, we're going to let somebody find out that we love Him. It's a strange thing, a lot of old folks way back. It seems to me they're ashamed to talk about the Lord. They didn't talk much about the Lord. They talked about the weather, talked about everything else. Well, we ought to get in the habit of talking about what Jesus done for us and what He is doing and what He's going to do. Well, I'll get stirred up about that. If you was going to Israel in the morning and going to high water, you'd get packed up, wouldn't you? Jesus may come, and we need to be packed up and caught up and caught up with the work of the Lord. We're leaving here. We're leaving. Praise the Lord. Sister Miller, won't be long for me and you, but there's a better place waiting. That song they sang, I believe, He'll be standing at the river. Welcome home. Welcome home. I paid for you. Oh, but preacher, the devil gives me such a hard time. He accuses me of all stuff. Remember, you've got somebody taking your part, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and His name is Jesus. And the Father could say, the devil said old Carl was a mean fella. And Jesus might say, "That's right, Father, but look at that blood. Look at that blood been applied to his soul, his heart. I don't see nothing wrong." Boy, justification means we can stand before God even as though we've never sinned.
Yeah, that's right.
Praise His holy name. My 10 minutes is up. And I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
Brother Wynn, I do hope I could say something tonight to get all of us motivated. On the move. We've not got much time left. It's whipping by so fast. I don't know how in the world I got to be 88 years old. I don't. It's been like a dream. But I'm moving soon, according to nature. And I'd like to hear him say, "Well done. You stayed stirred up. You had a conviction. That Bible conviction. Not what some doctor bottle stopper said, but what God said." We need to turn back to the Bible and say what somebody else said about it and stand on the truth. I'm going to make one simple little proposition. Oh, God knows how. I'd like to be in the battle. I'm getting tired. I got problems. But I'd like to stay in there as long as I could. The hardest thing for me to have done in my ministry is to turn down the last few years the many revivals that I've had to say no to. I just wasn't able physically to get there. It's work to preach. I told my folks today, I said, I can't hardly preach twice a day anymore. It just wrings my strength out of me. So I'm going to close before I wear out. It's good to see you. I love you. God loves you. The proposition I'm going to make, pianists, musicians come. proposition I'm going to make. Do you want to be stirred up? Do you really want to move up? Do you really want a witness inside that you're God's and God's yours? Or do you just want to go on at ease and in Zion? Preacher, I want to move up close. I want God to have us right away in my bosom. Boy, there's nothing sweeter and greater than that. That'll make you say whoopee. That'll make you just want to, before you know it, you're saying glory to God. Preacher, I'm never going to shout. With that attitude, you're not. I've said this a many of a time. Just ask God. God, if there's anything to that business of shouting, do it to me. As I told the folks somewhere about revival, I said, Lord, do it again. I want to do it again all the time. Just keep on blessing me and helping me. But if you don't want it, you'll never shout.